on 1116 SEN. The Bush and the Burbs with Paul Daffy for ABUS, the brand chosen by security professionals. If you love it, lock it with ABUS.
Good advice there in the opener, and great to have Daff back with all of our local competitions up and running, and plenty of stories, plenty of close games. Good evening to you, Daff.
G'day, Fonny. How are you going?
I'm doing very well. Of course, we'll be talking about the results over last weekend and predictions for the upcoming weekend, but local football has always been very respectful of Anzac Day, and I'm sure it's going to be marked right across the state at various, indeed all local football grounds, in different but respectful ways.
Yes, I mean, a lot of leagues have Anzac Day, traditional Anzac Day matches, as per Essendon and Collingwood. And probably the most notable examples in the Ovens and Murray League, where Albury and North Albury have played every Anzac Day since 1997. That's common. And the Amateurs, Uni Blues and Uni Blacks are having a special lunch before their game on Saturday at the Pavilion at the University Oval. But it's now becoming a little bit more common that besides playing a significant match, that there are various commemorations going on. We've got a significant one this weekend with before the Macedon versus Melton Central's game in the Riddle and District League. We're going to be speaking to the Macedon president, Terry Kernan, later in the show. Their preparation's been going for 2 weeks. I mean, they had Major Steve Pilmore address the club on the significance of the 100th anniversary, and the club's chosen charity, the Commando Welfare Trust, which supports families of fallen soldiers. I noted in the Albertson League down in South Gippsland, Foster versus Tour at the Foster Showgrounds. There's the juniors at 1 p.m. Then an RSL ceremony followed by a two-up school. So great tradition, great upholding of tradition there. Then the seniors match begins at 6:20 p.m. So there's a full day of commemoration there. And the bit closer to home, the Mornington Peninsula Footy League, they've got a special medal struck for the best and ground of each in each of the five games in the Anzac Day round. So just read a little excerpt from the Peninsula League. It's because they've had a Navy or an Army team in the competition since its inception in 1908. Those teams have included Naval Depot, Langwarrin Guards, Balcombe, Army School of Signals, Army Apprenticeships and Naval Recruits. A century later, in the 2008, the league struck a medal for best on ground in all senior matches in the Anzac round, named the John Glowry Medal. Now, John Glowry was president of the Peninsula League before and after World War II. He was actually president of the Victorian Country Footy League in the early 60s. And more significantly, in terms of Anzac Day, he served in the Royal Australian Navy, where he was a rank commander. He played 50 games for the Navy club in the Mornington Peninsula League in the late 20s and early 30s. The current Armed Forces team is Cerberus, which plays in the Southern Footy League, right, Ronnie?
Yes.
They did have a team in Division 3. Now they have a team in the thirds. So they're not strong enough to have seniors and reserves in your regular comps, but they do have a team in the thirds. The results last week suggest that Cerberus are probably too strong for that comp. They've defeated Chelsea Heights by 190 points in the Southern Footy League thirds blue division, 28-23, 191 to 1 behind. And this week, Cerberus have got the bye in that competition. You'd think they might be a bit busy.
In the Southern Football League, might raise a few eyebrows to see the perennially powerful St Kilda City winless 0-2, and East Malvern, who haven't been a particular powerhouse, are at 2-0, having thrashed Chelsea Heights by almost 100 points. Boy, that's things topsy-turvy in the Southern.
Yes, Cerberus is a good lead into the Southern League. It's a bit of a changing of the guard there. I mean, you always see some Pauls until the last couple of years, St Kilda City, East Brighton, Cheltenham, these sort of teams at the top of the ladder. This year there's been a bit of a change. East Malvern on top of the ladder after defeating Chelsea Heights by 96 points. Ryan Fitzgerald was among the best there. T. Smith and M. Ryan kicked six. And Morty Alec is second on the ladder after defeating Chelsea by 35 points. Sam Nichols the best. Also in that comp, East Brighton defeated Bentley by 10 points. That was probably expected. Andrew Jensen the best. St Paul's defeated Clayton by 22 points. Liam Wilson the best. And Dingley defeated St Kilda City by 18 points. And Daniel Farmer the best. So apart from that match where East Malvern, which until recently was called Taronga East Malvern, so a new era for the club, Apart from them defeating Chelsea Heights by 96 points, the biggest margin of the other matches was 35 points. So it's a really good, even competition in the Division 1. Just quickly, the ladder finally. East Melbourne, Morty, Alec, Dingley, two games and no losses. Clayton, Cheltenham, East Brighton, Paul, St Paul's, one win, one loss. And Bentley, St Kilda City, Chelsea Heights, no loss. Sorry, two losses and no wins. So this week, Clayton versus East Melbourne. Morty, Alec versus Dingley. So what's that, second versus third? And East Brighton versus St Paul's, two more traditional, more traditionally powerful teams will play at East Brighton.
In the Essendon District Football League, the Gorillas of Aberfeldy monstered the Northern Saints, and they've got a powerful-looking team, and the Northern Saints, unfortunately, were no match.
No, look, Northern Saints, based at the old Mutton Reserve in Faulkner, they're struggling. They're going to struggle a bit more this year with one of the Caruso brothers. I mean, the Caruso brothers, through Fortunato. Oh, I forget the other one's name, sorry, but he's out for the season with an injury.
Enrico?
Is it?
No, he's the famous opera singer, Enrico Caruso.
Okay. I didn't think it was Enrico, funny. Anyway, Aberfeldy defeated Northern Saints by 160 points. 33-16, 2-14 to 8-6-54. Alistair Kefford, 6. Lance Oswald, the ex-Yarrawonga player.
Grandson of the Saint, Lance Oswald.
Yes, who wanted to store gift, is that right?
No, Lance Oswald.
I'm thinking of another Lance from Essendon.
Lance Mann.
He wanted to store gift.
Lance Oswald was another top Lance. Three in the Brownlow medal on a couple of occasions, a regular for Victoria.
Was he?
Great player.
I think young Lance is his grandson. That
yeah,
makes sense, wouldn't
yep.
it? Yep. Anyways, kick 4 for Aberfeldy. Kyle Ramers, 2, ex-Essendon. Luke Blackwell, 2, ex-Carlton. Anthony Tippenwoody, ex-Tiwi Islands, 2. Josh Toy, kick 1, ex-Gold Coast midfielder. The best was Reece Moreland, Luke Blackwell, Nick Catapan, Jess Rush, Alistair Kefford. And no Brock McLean, although he signed with Aberfeldy because he was playing for Maryborough in the Bendigo League. This is very common now, finding. The president, John Larkins, described it to me as Brock McLean did an Akamatis. So this business of playing one-off games.
Guest spots.
Guest spots is now... Well, maybe we can call it doing an Akamanis.
Nat Caruso, who I've been...
Nat Caruso, that's it. I'll faithfully informed
off the SMS by, amongst others, Smithy of Greenvale. Thanks, Smithy.
No worries. Now, there were some other significant games in that comp, Finey. Most significantly, Keeler defeated the reigning premiers, Strathmore, on Good Friday in the opening round. Now, Keeler had been done by Maribyrnong Park. Now, Maribyrnong Park was expected to slip down the ladder, maybe even finishing the bottom two or three, but it's a great win. They defeated Keeler by 21 points. Cameron Lee and Trent Lee amongst the best. Greenvale defeated Avondale Heights by 71 points. Adam Marriage, ex-Richmond and Melbourne forward, six goals. Fabian DeLuca, I think he would be the ex-Port Adelaide ruckman. He was best on ground. Pat Rose and Dean Galea kicked 2 for Avondale Heights. Now, Avondale Heights finished third last year, lost the prelim, and they've had bad losses in the opening couple of games this year. The reigning premier, Strathmore, defeated West Coburg by 62 points. That was expected. Adam Winter kicking 6. Pascoe Vale, the Giant Killers. We had Jason Cunningham, SEN's Jason Cunningham, on the committee at Pascoe Vale on a couple of weeks ago. They've defeated Airport West by 168 points. So two massive wins there. Ben Warren, ex-North, Melbourne, kicked 10. Dean Tildall kicked 4. Jake Pulisti, 3. Best Vinnie Randello, Deke Tildall, and Pat Vez Premier, the ex-Sydney and... Bulldogs forward. So I've got a pretty powerful lineup. Division 1 in that comp, Craigieburn defeated Tullamarine by 34 points. Jason Cloak kicked 3. Cameron Cloak wasn't amongst the goals. And Taylor's Lake defeated Glenroy by 4 points. So poor Glenroy, they lost the first round by 1 point to Craigieburn, and now they've lost by 4 points to Taylor's Lakes. And they'll be hoping to crack it for a win this week.
Becca Mamedi kicked 3 goals for Taylor's Lakes against... Glenroy. In the Northern Football League, it was a third quarter smashing that got McLeod over the line against Greensboro. Apart from that, Greensboro probably held sway for most of the day, but 8-0 in the third quarter and McLeod ended up walking away with the 4 points.
That's a great win. Michael Lovett, well-known footy journalist.
Loves his McLeod.
He loves his McLeod. Has been the president. I'm not sure if he still is, but Greensboro, the reigning premiers. So it's a great win by McLeod. Who were bridesmaids, sort of struggled to get out of second division for about 5 years there, and are really consolidated in Division 1 now and pushing for the finals. Good win over Greensboro. Jack Langford, best on ground. Other results in the Northern Footy League. Eltham defeated Northcote Park by 33 points. Montmorency defeated Bundoora by 2 points. That's a both of those are tipped to slip slightly. So they're both regular finalists. They might be on the edge of the finals this year. We'll see how they go. Gary and Bo Moorcroft play in the same team. Now, Gary's about 38, maybe even 39, and his son Bo is 16. So a bit of a special thing with father and son playing in the one team. In Division 2, Layla defeated Fitzroy Stars by 7 points, finally.
We'll have a look at the Ammos later on in the hour. About to catch up with Paul Simitsidis of the EFL, member of the EFL media team. But Jack in Sandringham has rung in. He's an umpire in the Southern Football League. Good evening to you, Jack.
G'day, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling in. And anybody who feels the need to speak, of course you can call in. 9429 1116 as we travel the length and breadth of Victoria discussing local footy. How's things going in the Southern Footy League, Jack?
Good, thanks. I've been umpiring in the reserves for about 3 or 4 years now, and I just want to say I've noticed a huge dip in the crowd behaviour. It's been really good lately. The first couple of years was a bit iffy, but lately the crowds have been very well behaved. I just want to say a huge credit to the league and anyone that goes out to go watch them.
Well, as a brother-in-arms, I'm an umpire, field umpire, reserves umpire in the Ammos. It's vital to have yourself umpiring or myself umpiring or all of the umpires that go out there do it on a regular basis and enjoy the experience. It's vital that the crowd understand that we go out there, we do our best, that they, not us, are the ones watching the game through one-eyed of passionate support. And yeah, of course, there'll be mistakes made, but mistakes will be made by us, the players, the goal umpires, the boundary umpires, probably the ladies at the canteen might even get your change wrong. But nobody's doing it on purpose. And without umpires, Jack, there ain't much of a game of footy.
One more thing too.
Yep.
I just want to say in 2 weeks in Division 3 seniors in the Southern Footy League, Sandown are versing Lindale and Brennan Favola's making an appearance for Sandown.
Great.
So I encourage all fans to go down and watch that game.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Jack, what happened a few years ago that doesn't happen now?
There was just a lot of back chat. Me and my dad used to be a field umpire. There was just a lot of back chat, all the usual stuff. Crowds getting involved, threatening to record bad decisions siren, wrestling, you know.
So what's made the difference?
I don't know. I think it's just more. I'm not sure, to be honest. But
I think the league is made it very clear to clubs that they are responsible for their fans, and there will be penalties levied against sides that can't control their fans. And likewise, I'd like to think that those fans themselves, without having to have the big stick waved at them by the clubs, are becoming more respectful of umpires because of a broadening of the education. And
there's been a massive education process over the last 5 years.
People are a real push.
People are recognising the importance and how umpires need support. And the Southern League is becoming... It was 10 years ago, didn't even have a board. Yep. And now it's a strong league. So they've improved their game as well.
And Southern Football League had their spot fires, as all leagues did. Mm-hmm. But they put them out and done so definitively. And now I'm glad to hear that the Southern Football League, as is the case in the amateurs, and all the local football leagues, may they be country or state or metropolitan based, would say that things are better now than they were. They're not perfect, but the graph reads the right direction. Thanks for the call, Jack. Let's head to the Eastern Football League Media Centre, where Paul Simitsidis has what our normal chap Dyson doesn't have, and that is a voice. Good evening, Paul.
G'day, Finey. Paul, nice to talk to you again, fellas.
Nice to not have laryngitis.
Yeah, exactly right.
Let's start off the top of the tree in Division 1, and the reigning premiers, Norwood, are taking on one of the powerhouses traditionally in the competition in Noble Park. Norwood have not had a great start to the season.
No, unheard of. Zip and two they are coming into this game, coming up against a Bull side that are two and zip. Of course, they've got Kyle Martin back in the fold, Shane Valenti, Ziggy Orman's back from the VFL. So this is a Bull side that was probably close to premiership favourites going in, coming up against a Norwood footy club that started their life in Division 4, has now topped the tree in the Eastern Football League, and it's had a slow start to season 2015. But if anyone can turn it around, it's going to be the side that won the flag last year. So I'm not willing to put a line through them just yet, but they wouldn't want to lose this one, I'll tell you that much.
Paul, why has Norwood struggled early in the season?
Well, the draw hasn't helped them, I suppose. They came up against Baldwin in round one, a grand final rematch. Again, a Baldwin side that did some hard work in the off-season and stole a couple of the best players from the Ammos. So they lost a close encounter there. And they played Vermont in round two, who we all expected to drop away after all their superstars had left. But down at Vermont, different cast, same culture. They were tough to beat at home last week, and they ran over the top of the Norsemen. They haven't been smashed by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not sure luck comes into it. They just haven't been playing their best footy. You don't play your best footy, you don't win games, and they're fighting that out at Mullen Reserve at the moment.
Division 2, Doncaster East versus Waverley Blues. Waverley got slightly better form.
They do, and this is, in fact, our radio game on Saturday afternoon. And 2 or 3 years ago, you would have laughed if someone had said that Doncaster East were playing Waverley Blues on the radio. These are sides that I wouldn't say that they'd been irrelevant, but they'd just sort of gone through the motions in the second division. But they've both started off the season fantastically. Waverley Blues, for the first time in their history in Division 2, a 2-0 and 2 big wins as well, in excess of 10 goals. Benny Carboni and the boys down there are just going great guns at the moment. And Donny Easter welcomed into the fold former Richmond listed player Dean Limbach, who kicked 8 in round 1 and 6 in round 2. So all of a sudden, Donny East versus Waverley Blues, Zerbe's reserve on Anzac Day, becomes as mouth-watering a clash as any across the eastern suburbs of Melbourne on Saturday.
Now in Division 3, the Division 4 grand finalists of last year go toe-to-toe again. Sylvan won out in the big one, defeating Park Orchards. But this home and away game at Park Orchards, Sylvan on the back of a big loss at Upper Ferntree Gully. And you'd probably mark Park Orchards as favourites, given the home ground advantage.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but only just these two sides lucky enough to both come up to Division 3 after Sylvan won the grand final last season. Park Orchards, they're both 1-1, in fact. Park Orchards have had two close games and found themselves on either side of the ledger. Close win in round one, a close loss last week. Sylvan were good in round one, a real impressive win over South Belgrave, and they got belted against the Kings last week. Only because they're at home, I have to lean in the Park Orchards direction, which you do in round three because the weather is quite irrelevant. But I wouldn't be surprised if Sylvan got up, and I'd actually be happy to be wrong. A win to either side would be pretty good for the eastern suburbs.
And we've got a first ever game under lights at Fair Park for the Eastern Lions.
Yeah, right across the road from EFL House there on Scoresby Road in Boronia. So the big wigs up there are looking after the Eastern Lions. A 6:15 start, which is fantastic for everybody out there. Maybe go and see some other games and then wander across to Fair Park. Ferntree Gully, the opponents on the night, had been ready for that step up to Division 3 for probably the last 5 or 6 years. And a lot of people think that 2015 might be their last roll of the dice. Had a close win over Surrey Park in round one. Warrandyte did a number on them last week, which is, you know, there's no disgrace in that. Warrandyte looked to be the ones to beat in Division 4, whereas Eastern Lions, you know, they're looking to shake that tag of being the best of the rest. Historically, Division 4 has seen 4 or 5 teams at the absolute most be good enough to take out the flag. Eastern Lions are ready to add that title to next to their club, which would be fantastic.
As has been your preview of this round's action in the Eastern Football League. Paul, thank you for joining us. An able deputiser if there ever was one.
Thanks, mate. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks, Paul.
Well, if you would have, sounded arrogant, so it's better that I said it. Paul Simoncidis there, confident young man, and for good reason, giving us a great look at key games in all four divisions of the Eastern Football League this weekend break. And when we come back, Macedon Football Club President Terry Kernan will join us. Welcome back to The Bush and the Burbs. And, of course, it's ABUS that guarantees Paul Daffy safe passage here every week. ABUS, ABUS, now there is a brand that you can trust. ABUS, ABUS, if it's security, they're a must. Whether it's padlocks or something for your door, Europe's number one since 1924. ABUS. I just thought I'd give them a jingle.
You're rhyming beautifully on the spot there, Fire.
We've got to jingle them up because I want people to remember. Well, You only actually need to remember one thing. If you go to a locksmith, and seriously, if you say, what's your best padlocks, I guarantee you they'll say Apis. Let's catch up with the president of Macedon Football Club in the Riddle District Football League, Terry Kernan. They host Melton Central on Anzac Day, and they have gone to great lengths to mark the day of remembrance with the special accord it deserves, given not only that it's Anzac Day, but the 100th anniversary of the first landing at Gallipoli. Good evening, Terry.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Terry.
We're very well, and we know that right across the state of Victoria, indeed across Australia, there'll be a real focus on sports clubs, whether it's Aussie rules, rugby league or netball, you name it. The notion of, and the synergy between the sacrifice and mateship at Gallipoli and what they were fighting for being Australian freedoms, probably the best example of which is our sporting clubs. So the synergy is there, and that obviously struck you as president of Macedon because you've gone to great lengths to mark the day with special events.
Yeah, we have. I mean, Anzac Day, the shrine is, well, we're only second to the shrine in numbers of people on Anzac Day, and we have 4,000 or 5,000 people, and I've been up there for some 25 years, and it's been a part of the town. It's like the gardens up there. The cross is sacred to us. And,
sorry, Terry, can you explain that, mate? When you say we, you don't mean the footy club. You mean
the whole town is like that. The football club is very much a part of, you know, every small town such as ours at Mount Macedon, but the cross is a part of our town. It's synonymous with many people travel there. So we only saw it as a part of being Anzac Day. I actually approached the Riddle District League and asked them whether we could have this game, much like Collingwood and Essendon's, in perpetuity, and they granted us that. So we will have that from here on in. And we're going to make it our day. So it is important to us, not only as a football club, but certainly as a town as well.
So the Macedon Cross is like a pilgrimage site on Anzac Day for...
Yeah, it is.
For those who wish to commemorate the day.
Yeah, it's the second most visited site after the shrine.
Okay.
4,000 or 5,000,
right?
Yeah, 4,000 or 5,000. It's very well organised. It's terrific.
The actual role that the football club plays in this, obviously... You've got a game against Melton Central, and whilst football matters are always important, how's the club tonight, Thursday night at training, and in the build-up, maybe had a different week than would normally be the case for a home game for Macedon?
Oh, fine. Look, it's terrific. Tonight is amazing. For example, on the day, we have 120. There's a real build-up. We've got 120 of our past players coming back for us to look after on that day. We've got dignitaries. Our trust of choice is families of fallen commandos, and all monies raised on that day will go to those families. So. Look, it's terrific. We've got a build-up that's been going for weeks. We have been in the paper every day. People have really taken a shine to what we're trying to do, both for the netball and the football. And we're not quite sure how many are going to be there, but certainly the numbers we're expecting quite a lot, much more than a normal home game.
Okay, Terry, so you're raising money for the Commando Welfare Trust, which supports the family of fallen soldiers.
Yes.
You're right, you have got a host of people involved in the day. The ceremonies will be hosted by Frank Donovan, Senior Officer in the Australian Army.
Yes.
Macedon Junior player Ethan Christensen will recite a poem.
Yes.
A performance of the national anthem by Athel Guy, the ex-seeker,
yes.
And Jenny Blake. So, just firstly, Ethan Christensen's poem, what's that about?
Ethan Christensen's is the son of a fellow committee, Lee Christensen. She's terrific. And young Ethan came to me and said, look, I've written this poem.
So he's written it himself, right? Yeah.
He's 14, and it's just amazing. Not only has he written that, he's written lots of things. He's quite a gifted young man. And we thought, well, to celebrate not only our the day, we thought, well, we celebrate our children. And we actually took our kids, all the 50 or so, up to the cross, and we had a commando tell them what ANZAC's all about. And we wanted to try and educate the kids, and that too was lovely. And Ethan came up with us then.
So some listeners won't know where Macedon is. It's about 40 k's northwest of Melbourne, is that right?
No, it's about 70 k's.
70 k's?
It's 40 minutes from you're 40 minutes from the CBD.
Okay.
And straight up the Calder and past the second Gisborne turnoff and straight up to the cross. You'll see the mountain looming and drive up there you'll be directed. There'll be directions everywhere there.
Importantly, it's quite high. I think it's about 700 metres elevation. Yeah. And I don't think the weather's going to be very kind, is it?
Oh, look, we went up there this afternoon. And it was completely bathed in cloud, and still we got terrific shots. That was our footballer and netball. One of the other media people were taking shots. That was as the sun was going down, so it was fairly cold up there. But look, I think the weather is not looking all that flash, but I just noticed looking at it, it's going to be 17 and rain. So it's gone from 15 to 17. We just hope it keeps moving up.
All right, just on a footy side, Terry, last week Macedon's defeated Woodhead and Heskett by 75 points.
Yes.
With Teague and Henderson best on ground. So yes. You're sitting second. Because 10 years ago Macedon was a basket case.
Yes.
Now it's obviously a very strong club. You're sitting second on the ladder. So what's been the turnaround?
We decided that, we believe that the ovals and netballs are the future of our kids. It's where, we learn our lessons. It's the first... that's where our kids start. So we thought, well, let's get some money into the place, and we did that. And we did that fairly wisely, I think, and we've recruited five or six young men, and we've got those from various comps around. And look, we think we've got the right. It was very stringent on the people that we came into the club. We have a very strong culture. Our whole club is built around culture. And look, bearing in mind, we won four games last year, so getting six fellas, you're starting from a very low base. But we're confident, and as long as we're competitive and we're heading north, we'll be pretty happy.
Terry, it sounds like, well, it is, doesn't sound like, it's a fact that not only the football club, but ANZAC Day is very important to you. Do you have a family history that makes you so passionate about the football club's involvement on ANZAC Day?
That's really an interesting question. No, I don't. But I have become really passionate about it since our involvement. It's really quite amazing. We've spoken to a lot of commandos, and I know Dougie Beard, who played at Carlton.
He was on the station today, the father of Cameron Beard. Cameron Beard,
yes.
Who was awarded a VC posthumously for his incredible, brave, heroic and ultimately sacrificial acts in Afghanistan.
Wonderful, yes. No, I had met Doug two or three times many, many years ago, and we're well aware because we had one of the commandos, assistant to the commando, came up and said told us a lot about stories about how they're helping children, 28 children, and a lot of our funds will be going to supporting 28 kids of the commandos that have fallen going to school, and we feel really proud about that. It's something we're really, really proud about. And when the kids were standing there, the players and netballers, and you could see the look of we're doing something, and that's how we feel. So it is really special to us. I've become, I'm a lot older, quite obviously, the young players there, and I've become really emotional and really attached to it. And I think a lot of people have, because they've obviously people are coming back to us and telling us stories, and I think it's terrific. I really do.
It's a good place to leave our chat with the notion of what the actual celebrations have done for Terry Kernan, the president of the Macedon Football Club. It was me maybe getting the horse and the cart the wrong way around, but it just shows that a football club's respectful observance of Anzac Day has gone to make Terry, the president of the club, all the more aware, and now very much somebody for whom Anzac Day is more special. Hopefully that happens right across the state and the country. Thanks a lot, Terry.
Thank you very much.
Terry Kernan there, president of Macedon Football Club. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It was not an Anzac Day connection that led to these events to mark the commemoration. It was these events that made Terry more understanding of the importance of Anzac Day.
Yes, I like the link with this pilgrimage to the town or to the cross.
Right.
And the football clubs sort of run with it, which is a great thing, and they've obviously learnt along the way.
I will, throughout the evening, and I have done previously, and I think it's timely, given that we've just spoken of these memories of Anzac Day, read accounts from Gallipoli, and I wish to read the account of Private Roy Denning, a First Field Company engineer from the AIF. In the early hours of the morning of the 26th April 1915, I heard the officers going along amongst the men saying, "Stick to it, lads, don't go to sleep." And the cheerful reply would be, "No, sir, we won't go to sleep." And my heart swelled with admiration. I knew what the ordeal of the strenuous day before had been, and knew what pluck and determination was necessary to keep awake and alert throughout the long, weary hours of the night. Therefore, I thought I was justified in being proud of being Australian. Give me Australians as comrades, and I will go anywhere duty calls. And that from the trenches in Gallipoli, sent back home. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, the Seville coach, Frank Lezzaputty, will be our special guest. Welcome back. It's before we head to the mountains with Frank Lezzaputty, the Seville coach. It's been a hard-to-predict start in the amateurs this year. Both the grand finalists from last season are 0-2, which is highly unusual.
Yes, Uni Blacks and Collegians without a win. On the other hand, the two teams promoted from B grade, Uni Blues and Old Carey, are undefeated. So sets the stage for a big match between Uni Blues and Uni Blacks this week. Traditionally not fond of each other, but even more at stake. I mean, a big occasion just Anzac Day itself, but also a big occasion on the field with both teams be very, very eager to win.
There was a game that De La Salle would never have thought they would have lost when Old Scotch came roaring home. So that, I guess, caught the old school boys by surprise there.
Yes. Old Scotch had started the year extremely well, actually. But they've De La led by 25 points in the final term before the Cardinals roared home. Hugo Perry was again among the best, kicking four goals. Also, Old Trinity led at every change before defeating Collegians by 8 points. Jake Steinhardt was the best for Old Trinity. Just mentioned Uni Blues, they defeated Bo Morris by 62 points, so a big win there. Liam Quinn kicked four for the Blues. And in a bit of a turn-up, St Bernard's defeated Old Zabs by 67 points at Toorak Park, so a great win there. St Bernard's best, Adam Bentick, the ex-Carlton midfielder and St Bernard's captain. See, I spoke to Tom Caven last week, who's the St Bernard's he's the St Bernard's captain and fullback. He was directly related to six players in the St Bernard's team. So two of his brothers played and three first cousins. One of whom was Adam Campbell, the ex-Fremantle full forward. He's one of Tom's cousins. That was his first game for St Bernard's. And two of the Considine boys, also first cousins. So six from the one family. I thought that was a pretty good effort.
In B grade, amazing game between Ajax and Parkdale Vultures. Ajax kicked seven goals straight in the first 11 or 12 minutes, they tell me.
Did they?
They came out roaring, and from that point on, Parkdale Vultures, who...
Swooped.
Swooped, but swooped inaccurately, and in the end it was inaccurate kicking that cost the Parky Vultures. They lost by 8 points, I think 15-3 Ajax to a far more inaccurate Parkdale. And this is the second week in a row that Parkdale really had the better of things for most of the game, but let the poor kicking let them down. So Ajax, with Marty Pask coaching,
does he
has righted the wrongs of round one, and it's 1-1.
Is Marty Pask still a player, Roger?
Yes.
He is. So Ajax, 10 goals straight at half. I didn't know there's 7 goals in the first little bit, but 10 goals straight at half time. Parkdale Vultures just would be keen to make their way up to B grade. They're just sort of consolidating now and perhaps going a bit better than that.
Well, it's a great story. Sammy Radford went down there from Sandringham and originally brought some Sandringham players. I think the reins have now been handed over, but the Radfords played a big role and
in the rise, yeah.
And Boland's, you know, the fast bowler. Boland is Glenn Boland, who played for St Kilda and Melbourne, is involved down there off field. And his son, who's played for Collingwood in the VFL, and of course, there's Boland's maybe nephews, might be the nephew's fast bowler for Victoria. So there's Boland's involved down there as well.
Also, a significant finding, I mean, Parkdale, St Bede's Mentone, drop back from A grade to B grade. Hampton Rovers have come up from C grade to B grade. St Bede's actually beat Hampton Rovers by 40 points. But three of those clubs within a very short space of each other in those Bayside suburbs. So it's a really good competition in terms of who's going to sort themselves out amongst those.
Well, the Yarra Mountain Football, or Yarra Valley Mountain, it's the Yarra Mountain Football League, isn't it?
Yarra Valley Mountain District
Football League. It's a mouthful, but there are various, and it really does cover quite the area when you think of teams up in the hills, and then as far afield as Alexandra.
Yes.
So it's
Thornton Neal and Alexandra in the north, yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
Might get a run as well.
I think, is Emerald the southernmost? Anyway, round there, so it covers a fair surf.
You might have to go up, you might have to go far, but all the while, you'll be getting very competitive football on now what seems to be better grounds. Frank Lezzaputty, former Bulldog, played a couple of games for Footscray, but had a sterling career in the VFA. He's coach of several and joins us now. Good evening, Frank.
Good evening, Finey. Good evening, Paul. Thanks very much for having me.
No worries.
Thanks for joining us on the program, and no better example of the tyranny that distance sometimes plays in the competition. You are, I think, hosting Alexandra on Anzac Day, and I would have thought that there's over an hour's drive between those two grounds.
It would be, yeah, being over there over the other side of the Spur. So, look, it's a great honour, I think, for both sides to be able to play on that day. I think both sides will really appreciate the experience and go out there and give their all in respect of the past diggers who've given a lot more for us to be able to play on these days and live in a country as free as we have.
Frank, I noticed last week you had a good win. Several have defeated Thornton Neildon.
Yeah.
By about 5 goals. But is that a true indication of the strength of the club at the moment?
Look, it's probably not. We're probably lacking. We've got some injuries. We've probably got 4 senior players out in Adams, Tucker, Mammoletti and Trent Conder. And we've had some injuries. And it's just we're struggling to actually field a reserve side at the moment. We just got one tonight. But it's just hard. We haven't got under-18s. It makes it hard because we're probably wedged between 2 powerhouses in the first division in Wooreyallick and Wandon. But it's just, I just sort of ask if anyone out there and they want to have a kick of the footy, it's a great family club, Seville. They're more than welcome to come on board and give us a hand.
So has Seville always struggled for players?
Oh, look, it's up and down. I think like every footy club, they go through periods where you have a lot on your list and then players tend to veer off in different directions in their life. It's pretty interesting at the moment. They've played in the last 2 grand finals, Seville, in the second division, and even last year, they only lost 2 games for the year and 1 draw. And unfortunately, the one they lost was the big one, grand final.
Sometimes when teams can't get enough players, people doubt the club. It must be a bad club. Is that?
No,
have you had that put to you at all?
And that's a disappointing or frustrating thing because it's a fantastic family orientated club with the netball. Mm-hmm. Everyone there has a ball, and look, I've come on board and just tried to really gel everyone together and we've attracted a few players. We've got Regan Davis, who's come on board, and just playing the kids. You know, we're a club where we don't pay out big money, and we don't intend to because, look, it's a family-orientated club and we want players to come there for the right reason. That's to play footy.
Now, we know that Seville and other clubs that play in the mountains also, I know that Sylvan was a former Yarra Valley Mountain Football League
yes.
team, that's right. might have the option of playing in the Eastern Football League. What do you mark as the benefits for playing in the Yarra Valley District Mountain Football League, and why do you stick there?
Yeah, look, I think the advantages are, like I said, out there you've got your small communities like Seville, and the netball plays a huge part of that, like the wives and girlfriends and partners get involved, so it's really family-orientated. You can turn up the footy with all the kids. Mum's playing netball, Dad's playing footy, and you make a family day of it. So it's a bit different to the Eastern Footy League where they haven't really got the netball. So you know, even though you get support from your girlfriends and partners or wives, they come along just as purely supporters, whereas the netballers out in the Yarra Valley have a real, you know, they really buy into the footy club and they're a real part of it.
And I've got to ask a question, only a couple of days away from Mick Malthouse equaling the record for most games coach. You played your couple of league games at
yeah.
the highest level under Mick. First of all, what was he like as a younger coach, and is there a bit of Mick Malthouse in Frank Lezzaputty when he takes the clipboard?
Oh, look, I've been pretty lucky. I went from North under Dennis Pagan straight to Footscray under Mick Malthouse. So I had those two guys who were very astute at what they did, with Sarah in their homework, and I've probably taken that on board. The boys get into me a bit because of the whiteboard's always full. Yeah, but look, they're very hard tasks, and Mick was very hard but very fair. And I probably thrived on that sort of environment. I didn't need to, but I enjoyed being pushed. I enjoyed the challenge of a hard coach, if you like Mick and Dennis, and they got the best out of me. So I'm probably not as hard on my players as they were on me, but I think fair's fair. I demand respect from the players, and I give them the respect as well. So I think it's a two-way street there.
And as a younger man, did you live in sort of inner city Melbourne?
Yeah, I grew up in Brunswick.
I gathered. And
okay. Yes, I grew up in Brunswick, and my wife is from Willowdale, so after meeting her and after getting married, after Footscray, I went and played for a couple of years in Adelaide, and then when I come back here, we just built a house out here in Chernside Park and been here ever since.
And then you saw the opportunity to coach Seville and you thought you're off to the Spanish League?
Yes.
going to be well, one of the great soccer managers of all time?
I was actually involved with Wandon last year with a couple of guys, Joffa and Shrekie, the boys there. And I finished up there last year and we lost the grand final at Wandon. That was it. I started polishing up the fishing boat and I was ready to go fishing. And then Seville rang me and wanted to have a chat. And I thought it was a real challenge. Like a club that's sort of probably lost a few senior players and we've gained a few, but they've got a lot of kids coming through. And look, to lose two grand finals in a row, I think it's a real challenge to sort of get the group up again. And we did that. We sort of unlucky round one, 9 points to Kinglake, and that's taking nothing away from Kinglake. They utterly deserve the win. But after we got back on track and we started playing some good footy and playing the way I want the boys to play, and we sort of got up by 6 goals and probably should have won a bit more. We kicked a bit straighter. We kicked 19-14. So, our full forward, Nathan O'Keefe, he kicked 6-6. So hopefully he kicks a bit straighter this week.
Your appetite for the job has come through
this
interview. Frank, thank you so much for joining us. It's almost infectious. I'm almost ready to...
I just love footy. And look, I find it frustrating where there's kids out there and they're playing their PlayStations, they're not doing anything. Look, get down, come down to Seville, have a kick of the footy. We'll help you out as best we can. Not only the kids, anyone who wants to play footy, more than welcome down there. It's just a great family-orientated club, and I'd love to have people come down and just enjoy the atmosphere as much as I enjoy it.
And you get Frank Lezzaputty, which now is apparent to everybody, a bloody good thing. Seville are looking for players for their reserve, so if there are footballers out there that have decided not to play this year and are getting itchy feet, especially if you're in the region, then contact the Seville Footy Club. Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Daff.
And you're fine. Thanks, Frank.
Thank all the listeners to Bush and the Burbs. It's a very important part of our football week here on the evening program.